I know when you're waving, it's time to come up. That's what I know. You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 16. Matthew and chapter 16. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you and thank you. So help us now to have the benefits of your presence. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And in the light of our looking at this morning's exercise, here in Matthew chapter 16, our Lord is talking to the leaders, etc., and they are all concerned about, normally, of history and how things are going for them politically and economically and socially, etc. And in doing all that, so people are always reading and understanding and what's going to happen with that investment or whatever it is. And we're doing that. People are doing that. They were doing that in the days of our Lord Jesus. So when we come to chapter 16, the Lord is going to help them because, verse 2, he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can try to understand the face of the sky, looking up into the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? And they were not paying attention to they were missing out. What were they missing out on? The Lord Jesus Christ was there. They didn't put that together. Born in Bethlehem, here he is in his ministry, going to the in the middle of his ministry, and 6 months in that, and all of that. And they aren't paying attention. He's going to be crucified according to Genesis 3:15, according to God's word, Old Testament, but they aren't paying attention. They try to read everything about life. How's my job going to go? How's my health doing? What's the medicine going to do? And we do that. That's our life. But that's what they were doing. But he said, you hypocrites, you don't understand the day you're living in. Now hang on. Therefore, if I can, verse 4, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but no, there is, and there shall be no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Now, so they're looking for a sign. The only sign he's going to give them is this empty tomb after 3 days. And he's going to give them that empty tomb sign. That's all he's going to give them, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. That's what he's going to give them. Now, did they read the times? They were living in the times, but they didn't understand them or pay attention to them, and therefore they paid an awesome, awesome price because they went and crucified Christ shortly thereafter. And in crucify him, that's because they didn't read the times. And you know, as we mentioned this morning, when he comes, and he's going to show, use it still up here, he's going to show his nail-pierced hands. That's the sign. He's going to be in heaven like this. And the whole world is going to be humbled, to say the least, in this event. Wow. Now, that's where that is. Go over with me now to 1 Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians, picking up, if I may, in chapter 5. And you will note chapter 5 and verse 1. But of the times, signs of the times, here's the times. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, what he's saying to the believers back then, Paul, Spirit of God, that you guys, I've been told you, only 3 weeks, he taught them in 3 weeks, what are they're facing? Here's the signs. Here we are living in this day, and here they are instructed on how it's going to go, the end of the church age and the tribulation to follow, grace followed by wrath. And they had this. They had this. They had that understanding. And that's what he said. You guys have that. So the advantage of the Thessalonians was that they had this wonderful advantage of understanding where it was going. Now, how were they to handle it? Chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, is God taking us home, the rapture. And when God takes us home, and he is going to do it, how do they handle the future? How do they handle the signs of the times? They knew them, they were instructed, and they held on to them, and they were able to live with them and proceed. Back then, early church, let alone us at the end, the early church was to live with them with an understanding that at any moment, back then, Christ could come for them. And that's how they survived the signs of the times and the day in which all the things were happening, because they understood the next event was for God to take them home. Now, with that in mind, we'll go back over to Psalm 31. And picking up in Psalm 31, you're going to recall the instruction. Now, David is an example. He lived in difficult times, and he went through difficult times. Now, here's Psalm 31 again. And in Psalm 31, if I can, picking up, please, in verse 15. My times, there's your little word, my times are in thy hand. That's what David said about God, and we shared that. He had a commitment, chapter 31, verse 5. He had a commitment to God, verse 14. He was going to hang on to it like the watermelons we mentioned. He's going to hang on. He is committed. No matter what, he's going down the corridor. He's going to have his problems, but he's going to fall down. He's going to get up and keep going, which is what God requires. So, therefore, my times are in thy hand, Deliver me from the hands of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. Evil, are you understanding, David, where you're living? Even though it's in Israel, even though there's all those people around you, I do. I understand the darkness, shadow of death. I understand the evil. I live in it. And we've been doing all that so that we're conscious of it. We aren't in a picnic. It isn't a little paradise we live in. You know, we live in very, very difficult, and we live in a hostile environment to good and to God, no matter how you do it. It's hostile. Now, having said that, my times, and we shared together that word times has to do with that which is bounded. A time to begin, a time to end, and we did that in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Everything has a time. It starts and finishes. The ups and downs, the ins and outs, vicissitudes, you know, all the stuff that goes on. People are doing things and understanding things, and it means the whole ball, everything, our whole world, our whole city, our whole household, our whole school, our whole city, all in the middle. It's all happening at once, the times, all the activity, all the thinking, all that's going on is taking place. Now, that's the word, times. All that's occurring, all that's existing, all the situations, all the circumstances. And therefore, all the doings, everything's, just think of everything that's going on that we don't even understand, we aren't even conscious of it, but it's going on. So now, having said that, go over to, now remember now, over to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, picking up if I may, and you'll recall David is king and the people are at this point, the military, each tribe is sending their men in. And sending them in, 300-something thousand, or so all men coming in to support him. They're all, he didn't ask for them, he didn't want it, he didn't say it anything that way. God just sent them in to support, to stand with him in the midst of the times he lived in. Now, what did you need, David? What did you guys need? Here's all these men, military, etc. What did they need? As you know, in verse 31. And of the half tribe of Manasseh, 18,000, which were expressed by name to come and make David king. Now verse 32. Of all the different tribes. Now here's verse 32, as you know. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. It doesn't tell us how many men there are of Issachar, but it does tell us, men of Issachar, to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200. The chiefs, the leaders of, here's the men of Issachar, and there were 200 of them that were their bosses. So you can just imagine how many there were. 200 just tells you how many chiefs there were. How many overlords, lords were there over them, leaders? And so, 200, and all their brethren were at their command. So God, what did you do? God, in his wonderful provision, provided the whole tribe of Issachar with discernment. So every man of Issachar could read the times. They knew what to do. So here's this huge army now, and among their men, how do we do? When do we go? What do we do? And the men of Issachar, God had equipped them as they're spread out here to encourage and help the men understand what are we to be doing to do. They understood the times that they lived in and how they're going to have to go to win the battles and overcome the obstacles, the evil and the darkness. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over if you would to 1 Chronicles and chapter 29. And what do we know, David? And just adding, so in case we don't catch it, when you come to the end of the book of Chronicles, You will notice, for us to understand, 1 Chronicles 29, picking up in verse 30, the last verse in the book of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles. With all his reign and his might, the times that went over him and over Israel and over all the kingdoms of the countries. David walked with God 24 hours a day. He stumbled through it. God kept him, and he did it all the way to his death, his times. What did you say? God said, he started with me, he finishes with me. My times, what did you say, David? My times are in God's hands all the way to the end. By the way, verse 30, all of Israel that I had to be king over and had to handle all the different problems and needs and all the nations that surrounded us, all of those Israel and all of those nations, God, those times are in God's hands. My times, their times. What's going on in my heart? What's going on all around me? Work, home, school. What's going on? My times are in your hands, God. All of them. Wow. Now, while you're in chapter 12, go over and we'll pick it up again. In chapter 12, if I may, in verse 11, 29, 11. Remember David now? And David's so excited about God. God's keeping him. Verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven, in the heaven and in the earth is thine. There's nothing anywhere that doesn't belong to you. All is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, thou art exalted as head above all. So God, there's nothing outside of your control. Everything is in your hands. The Israel, all the nations, and me, said David. Now, verse 12. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. So God, understand, everything is in your hands. My times are in your hand, but so everything, if anything's going to work out, in my life, in the light of all my surroundings, in the light of Israel, in the light of all the nations, God, you're going to have to do it. And that's how God concludes when David dies. His times were in my hand. David's journey started with God and ends with God. All his times. Now, in the light of that, in verse, both riches and honor to make great, the end of verse 12, to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name, but who am I, and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly? They're building, going to build the temple and all that. After this sort, for all these things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. So everything we have is yours. So whatever we have, when we think we have it, it's yours. And think of this morning, you bring nothing in, and you take nothing out. Nothing was yours. Nothing was yours. You thought it was yours. Time wasn't even yours. Not even time. My times are in your hands. We bring nothing in, and we take nothing out. And thus, David, you understand that? The clothes, my this, my that. No, you're going to leave them. They aren't yours. You can't take them anywhere. Now, hang on. Wonderful God, that David, I got to understand. David, why are you so encouraged to walk in the valley of the shadow of death? Because my steps, God is making my steps. The way that I'm going, it's God's steps and God's way. And my times, as I walk, as I go, are God's. I can't get better than that, no matter how I do it. Now, so when I come here in chapter 29, verse 13. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. I'm going to read verse 14 again. And who am I, and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? All things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For a reason, we are strangers before thee and sojourners. So were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow. There is none abiding. They all disappear. The days keep going. The sun keeps rising and setting. But all us humans go through and disappear. Now, verse 16. O Lord, our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thy holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. It's all yours to start with, God. So God, I'm going to, no, you're not giving away anything. God said, I own it all. I own it all. I do. None of it's yours. Now, David got that. David got that good. My times are in thy hand. Now, and as you do that, hang on, go over with me for a moment to Daniel and chapter 2 and remind a different way to say it. Daniel and chapter 2, picking up, please, in thought, if I may. And in Daniel chapter 2, may pick up in verse 20. 2 and 20. And you will note, if I may, here's Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel, you're able to do what you're going to do because your times are in his hand. That's right. And Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar is going to level Jerusalem not long thereafter. So chapter 2, verse 20, Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changeth the times, there's your word, all going on all over the place. He changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings, setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. So God, David, what are you saying, Daniel? Well, you know, God, you got it all going. My times, in your time, and you're letting all of it work out. We read it in Matthew 16, for our Lord to be crucified in a day of unbelief. We're looking at it now ahead, the tribulation's coming. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, they want peace, and that's what they're looking for in Israel right now, peace. The Arabs, Saudi Arabia might even join the group. Wow, peace. You don't believe? Yes, sir. God, you're going to do it all. That's right, I told you, I'm in charge. The rising and the falling. There's no king that I didn't let happen, a Hitler, Mussolini, etc. Hirohito, it doesn't matter. Nope. God said, I'm in charge. David, did you know that? I did. My times are in thy hands. Wonderful, wonderful times. So therefore, God, all that is bounded, all that is brought together, the outworking, the understanding of the times, are all to be worked out in a most wonderful way. And God, that's what you're going to do. So, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, in the light of that, in the light of all that God's doing. Now, in order to see that, David, help us some more. Over to Psalm 18. And David's going to help us all over the place to understand. And here's Psalm 18, if I may pick up, remember his great psalm. And going in the light of all of it, let me just pick up the first part. Psalm 18, verse 1, O Lord, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. God, you're my whole, that's why I'm going to make it. My times are in your hands all the way to the end. Chapter 18, as you keep reading, God, you're going to help David? Absolutely. As he walks through the valley of the shadow of death? Absolutely. Picking up, if I can, verse 35. Thou hast also given me a shield of thyself, also given me the shield of thy salvation. You've saved me. And thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness has made me great. God, here I am going down the corridor, and verse 36, thou hast enlarged my steps unto me, so that my feet did not slip. I'm walking in your steps, in your way, down the corridor of time. Back up verse 35, thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand holds me, and thy gentleness, remember gentleness when we looked at it, gentleness means to be able to be troubled. Easy way to remember, nice way. What's going on troubles you, troubles God. David said, whatever's happening in my life, you're concerned about. You're troubled about it. Rest of the verb. I'm going to bend down, said God. Because I'm concerned about you, I'm bending down to help you. My gentleness will make you great. My concern for you, I am troubled about you. I want to make sure you work out everything, and everything comes out right in your life. That's what I want. And David, did you understand that? I did. God was concerned that I make it. God was concerned that it works out. It's after all God's will. It's all God's. Wow. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over to Psalm 37. And in Psalm 37, may I pick up, please, in thought, in verse 23, we shared it. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now verse 24, we did it. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be fall headlong, hurt his head and his nose. If he fall down, why not? Isn't it a problem? For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. So as you fall down, going down, my times are in your hands. In the valley of deep shadow of death, as I'm going down my steps, my way, my times. Not just what I understand and not what I'm experiencing. All the rest of it around me, which I have no knowledge, control of. Wow. 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 So now, here we are, and God, the right hand. God, you're going to do that. Uh-huh. Psalm 63. God holds us if we fall down. So here's Psalm 63 again. And here's David. David, keep helping us. Verse 6. 63, verse 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because why? Thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice, trusting you. Verse 8. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. So God, it's right there. You're going to help me. That's how you're going to get there, David. My times are in thy hand, God. You're going to have to work it out. Back over to Psalm, don't do that. Back over, if you can, in the light of that, Colossians. Colossians, if you would. We need to be God. Here we are, and without getting David, we got to get past that now. And to where we're going, God, here we are. And David's telling us we're going to trust in God at all times, etc. Psalm 62, verse 1, etc. We're going to trust God at all times. So here's Colossians, and God, looking for God's outworking and all of it. So God, I want to translate, my times are in God's hands. Let's say it from the New Testament. Same thing, a few more words, little different window to see it. Colossians chapter 1, picking up in verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. So the believers are healthy, looking to God, trusting God. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over chapter 1 and in the great prayer, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So as we're here, Christ in us is outworking his will in the life of the believer. So, all of a sudden, when I read Psalm 31, 15 to that, my times are in your hands, God. Well, God, and everything belongs to you. That's your will, your steps, your way, the times. All of them are working out. It's up to you, God. And therefore, God, the kingdom, the future, being controlled, governed, outworked by God in you. True? If you receive God as your Savior, isn't God in charge of all this that we just looked at? So if you sit there, the God out here, the God in here, is running the whole show from you, from us, body. That's what he's doing. He's running the whole show. That's wonderfully true. Awful hard to understand. It's wonderfully true. So God, so therefore, am I going to get overcome by it? No. Not when I understand. My times, God, are in your hands. And your hands are holding it all. And as a believer in the church, in this age of grace, God in Christ in you, and you'll see in verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Sliding over to verse 27, you know, to whom God would make known the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is this thing that we do in Middletown, in all over the country, of people, believers in all parts of the world? What are they doing? Among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what you're doing. You're bringing God to the kitchen, to the basement, to work, to school. That's what you're doing. God, that's what you're doing. And And you, all the pressures are on. They're there. My times, I'm surrounded by them. I'm not going to go away. The beginning and the end of my steps, God, it's up to you to do what you have in mind, that I want to finish what you start. Philippians 1:6. I want you to finish what you start. Now, so here in Colossians, picking up, if I can, chapter 3. And as we look and understand God's wonderful grace, in chapter 3, what are we doing? If then, verse 1, if then you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. So, if you're trying to handle the present things around that you can see, we walk by faith. And we're looking at what we can't see. And we see all these things going on around us in some measure. We do, there's no question. But as we see them, God, what are we governed by what we see? No. My times are in thy hand. We're governed by what God sees. We're governed by what God is going to let happen. We're governed by how it's going to go. We're governed by that. But who governs all of that? God in you governs that. That's for real. And when you put that to, and you can let it, it's real. And that's how you're going to live. Why are you going to live like that? Hang on. Verse 3. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, you can't say it. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That you, God is entrusting you. There's flesh, no flesh shall glory in his presence. And you're looking to God, and your life is hid in God. In fact, so that's not even a question, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. So there's no question. So God, I understand that. So I have to do it how? By faith. We walk by means of faith. So I need to be seeing the problem, the conditions, the situations. I need to see them looking to God, his presence. Back to the way. He is the way to know the way, the ways of God for your life. He is the way. I don't need to go any further than God in the heart, in his presence, God. I need to do it. How am I going to do that? By faith. I'm going to trust God. That's what I'm going to do. And go down the corridor of time. By faith. Not by sight. Everything, here comes the big steamroller, make believe. That's pretty awesome. Big steamroller coming at you. You can't get out of the way. And you see the steamroller. And what can I tell you? You're going to have to look to God. Even if you see the steamroller coming. If you have whatever you can dream up or experience this week, and then you look to God. Not the answer. You're looking to God and trusting him. My times are in your hands, God. My steps, my way, my times are in your hands. So I'm looking to you. And that's how you're going to get through it. But if you don't do that, you won't get through it. Because then you're caught up in whatever's happening and how it's going to go and how you don't know what's going to happen, how it's going to happen. And so therefore, God, we got to be knowing. Be knowing. Be knowing what God's knowing. God's knowing, and you need to know that God's knowing. And you're trusting God who's knowing. And as you trust God who's knowing, then you're trusting his outworking, his hand, each day, each night. Secular, sacred, wouldn't make any difference because you're in God's will, looking for God's will. That's what you're doing. And you go one day at a time, one step at a time. That's how you do it. And as you're doing that, watch, do it in your mind. And as you do that, you take a step and say, well, I've got too many things to think about. No, as you think about them, thank God as you move through them. So you're thanking God as you go. And that's how you're going to make it. So you're conscious of God, and you're trying to do what you think you should do, the way you should do it, and you go. That's what you do. So God, there's no difference for us. Secular, sacred, nope, God, our whole life from beginning to end is yours, God. So God, here we are looking, and the world has all of the things, faith, fate and chance, and all of those different fortune, good fortune, luck, whatever. No, we don't have those words. We don't use those words. Nope, they don't belong to us. And the world we live in at the present, as we just mentioned out there in California, that the world we live in isn't talking about luck. They are aggressively set. They are determined to go and win. They aren't looking for fortune or luck. They're looking for aggressive commitment, and they are committed to doing what they're going to do. That's what they're going to try to do. That's what they're going to try to do. So we don't have to say it's luck or chance. No, those words don't even fit. Not for this. They don't fit. Nope, not at all. So God, here we are looking, and looking for you to outwork your wonderful will in a most wonderful way. Now, over I can, back over to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. And then Psalm 31, picking up, please, if I may, in Psalm 31, sliding down, if I can, to verse 16. My times are in thy hands, verse 15. Verse 16. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. So God, what are you saying, David? God, I want God's smile. That's what I want. And we shared all those things, you know, that God is, it's his pleasure, it's his delight to be who he is and do what he does. It is his pleasure, it is his delight to save you. It is his pleasure and delight to make you have all of the benefits that he wants. It's his pleasure to do so. What did you say, David? My times are in your hands, and I want to see you smile, just like Moses. You're not going to go without you, God. No, I want you to work your will. And if you're happy, I'm happy. If you're satisfied, I'm satisfied. No matter how it looks, I'm going to be satisfied because you're satisfied. And that's all. I don't need to see any results. I don't need to see anything. Wow. Now, and the people in the days of Thessalonica, what do they see? Persecution, heartache, probably some of them death in prison, or the just great difficulty, apostasy. That's what they saw. They lived in it. And we're living in where we are. Even so, come. Now, back down to slide in that, in the light of that. Verse 19. Oh God, in the light, I want you to smile. Verse 16. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast worked for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Here we are in this world system, and we're going to trust God. And David, what are you doing? I'm trusting God for Israel to look at. I'm trusting God for the Gentiles to look at, for God. And so we're benefiting from all of that you went through. Now, so how great is thy goodness? Verse 20, thou shalt hide them, the believing heart, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. God, you're going to keep us as we go down. People are going to talk. They're going to say, let them say what they say and do what they do. You just keep going, hidden in the light of it, hidden in the splendor of God's wonderful being, in his wonderful brightness. Verse 21, blessed be the Lord, for he hath shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For he said, I said in my haste, I am cut off from thine enemy, thine eyes. God, where are you? Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications. When I cried unto thee, God, were you there? You were always there. I just needed to get back in order. I needed to get my heart right, walking by faith. Verse 23, O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and is plentiful, and plentifully regardeth the proud doer. God, you take care of them, make everything come out all right. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. That isn't just David now. David said, it's for all of you guys that want to walk with God and look to God. God's going to outwork his wonderful life in a most wonderful way, and God's going to do that. Now, having said that little bit, over if I can, or back over to put it together, over if I can, over to Isaiah chapter 49. And in Isaiah chapter 49, you are going to recall, and if I can, chapter 49, in verse 14. 49 and 14. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Now that, as we mentioned this morning, but God doesn't forget, and God didn't disappear. Where's the problem? It isn't with God. It isn't with what we've been looking at. Truth, my times are in thy hand. That's absolutely true. My steps are my way. God, all of those are real. The problem is that I lost sight of you. Therefore, you'll remind Israel as they go, the Assyrian captivity, the Babylonian captivity, the tribulation coming up. And what's it going to take for Israel? It's going to take the tribulation to wake up. And then they have 1,000 years to enjoy God's wonderful grace. Therefore, verse 15, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. I have graven thee upon the hands, palms of my hands. My walls are continually before me, thy walls, etc. God, you're going to be there. I am. I didn't forget. God doesn't forget. God doesn't change. We change. But our times change. But God doesn't change. So now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you would, over to John chapter 19. The Gospel of John and chapter 19. And you will note, picking up, if I may, in verse 34, chapter 19. And picking up chapter 19 and verse 34. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that you might believe. For these things were done, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken, etc., etc. Verse 37. And again another scripture saith, they shall look upon him on whom they have pierced. So God, remember back to the piercing, God's going to do that. And he isn't going to do that. Just he does it for all of us. God pierces for all of us. He died for all of us, etc. Now, having said that, chapter 20. God, the nail, my hands, my hand. Thy times are in thy hand. What about your hand? The hand is very personal. The hand, his hand is made for your hand. His heart is made for your heart. That's what this was all about. That's what this is all about. For God to have his way in your heart. Your heart in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's what your relationship is. And you're able to go down the corridor. And why? On what? My hand. My times are in your hand, God. That's right. Here we are going. And here I am going, Christ in me and me resting on God, going down the corridor of time. Wow. And therefore, chapter 20, as you know, what are you going to do every time? Verse chapter 20, picking up, please, if I can. Thomas, verse 27. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. What do you mean? God said, listen, my hands didn't heal. All my blood came out. I didn't have any healing. The hole in my side and my hands are forever. Why? I never want you to forget. I don't want anyone ever to forget that I did this before the foundation of the world for my glory and honor. I don't want anyone ever to forget. So my hands pierced. Verse 29. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me and believed, blessed are they that have not seen and believed. And we don't have all we have to understanding of what happened and what God did for us in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And in the light of that, over to Revelation chapter 1, as you would know, God, it's your way to do it. How are you going to present yourself as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, the one who was crucified, nailed to the cross, and you're going to evidence all the way through history into forever? Are we ever going to be able to see the perfect humanity of Christ seated at the right hand of God? Without his nail-pierced hands, you'll never see. You'll always see when his hand, you'll always see the hole. You'll always see the hole. Forever. Forever. God's wonderful testimony to his creative ability to design angels and humans and sin and to put it all together. Why is it like this? See his hands. See his hands. Revelation 1, as you know, in verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Every eye is going to see him. How can you see him without seeing his hands? That's his wonderful thing. So what, at the great white throne judgment is all the unsaved. The unsaved are there. Who's the judge? He is. And if you can even try to do it, my hands, and you rejected me. You rejected what I did. see my hands. And no one at the great white throne judgment says boo, you know. That's interesting, isn't it? From all the way from Cain to the end of the millennium, all of those people. And no one says boo. They're all guilty, and they know it by their works. Now, if I can, as you know, in the Civil War, 1861 and all that in there, and remember Fort Sumter was fired on, etc., etc., and we had the war begins, 1861, and the war begins, and we went through it. Awful, awesome, awful war. But I had to go through it. It's required. The time, our times were in his hands. Absolutely. Now, during that time, a civil war, it's an awful time, etc. During that time, Ralph Waldo Emerson, the Ralph Waldo Emerson looking, and in the process spoke. And as he spoke, looking at, as it were, and looking at things, and he said, "What did you say, Ralph?" Well, he said, looking. He looked out there, and when he went through, and he said, "This time is like all times, is a very, very good one, if we but know what to do with it." We're looking at the war, civil war. We aren't looking at a picnic. We're looking at a civil war. If you just knew, he said, what to do in these difficult times. My times are in your hands, God. It's our time, like the sons of Issachar, to discern the time and understand what to do. You aren't going to change it, but you need to understand it. So that what? You aren't defeated, depleted, disappointed, depressed, and 1,000 other words. So that you're going through, not troubled, but triumphant, which is what we're supposed to do, isn't it? Philippians, 2 Corinthians 2:17, 2:14. We're to give thanks in everything. We are to be triumphant at all times. As we go to work, as we go to school, whatever we're doing, we're to be very wonderfully confident, comfortable, being able to go down the corridor. We aren't going to fix anything very much at all, but we're going to go and be little lamps in the middle of the light, night, and in the process of all that. Here comes the little light. And here's the light. Now, and we've said it 100 times, of all the darkness that comes around the light, would it make any difference how dark it is? Does the darkness affect the light shining? Another way. If you went out and you could be a little lighthouse, out in the ocean somehow. And you're out there in the ocean. And the lighthouse is there. What is the lighthouse there for? To be a light. Does the lighthouse care about the hurricane? Does the lighthouse care about the typhoon? Does the lighthouse care about anything? The dark, the storm, the trouble, the shipwrecks. No, the lighthouse just shines. What are we doing? We're to be lights. And we don't have, aren't going to change everything and fix anything. We're little lights in the middle of it all. That's what we are. A little light. My steps, my way, my times are in your hands, God. What a great way to go to sleep. For it's real. And it isn't because you feel it, or you understand it, or whatever. It happens to be true. If you'll trust God, God is, that's his plan. That's to get his smile. You want to smile, honor him, and he's going to do it. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness. And God, we just try to go and admonish each other in the light of all that's happening. And God, it isn't so hard. And you didn't make it so that we'd get clobbered and cringing and creeping and crawling. Nope, you wanted us to be more strong and be courageous to get down the corridor of time with a measure of thanksgiving. So God, deal with us. Thank you very much for loving us. Spirit of God, thank you. Help us, God, each one, that we would just somehow get quickened, awakened, a little more comfortable with the reality of truth and the truth of reality. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.